Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. You ever done one of these suckers and forget to hit the record?
Yeah. Yep.
It's ugly sauce, but this isn't. Hello, Brains, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Sherry Leopold. I'm so excited to have her. She does something that I do, talk to myself in a positive way. That negative self-talk will destroy you, Brains. And the bad part is that you're saying it to yourself. It's different if it's outside influences. You can shrug it off. You can cuss them out. You can disconnect them, block them, you know, all that good stuff. But when you're talking to yourself, you live with yourself. And that's a dangerous situation. So we want to talk a little bit about self-love. We want to talk about her being a mama of three. We also want to talk to her about her book and all the things that she's doing as a mentor in the world with women. And we're going to talk about relationships. So help me welcome her to the edge. Hello, Sherry Leopold. Welcome to the edge.
Thank you so much, April. I'm so honored to be here and among these fabulous brains.
Yes, girl, because we be doing it overtime, okay? That's exactly what we be doing. So tell us a little bit about you, baby, and how you show up in the world and how you found this space.
You know, I actually, having been in network marketing 25 years this year, one of the places that self-bullying really became evident to me was in that space, and especially with women. I would get a very strong sense from people that I was working with on my team that they were their own worst enemy. Like, and you know, it's like, whatever you say, whether it's true or not, is a fact in your brain. And so I say, make good choices, you know, say good things to yourself and about yourself, because your brain is listening, right? Always.
Absolutely.
And so that's where at first, I think, really became apparent to me that it was a thing and that it was a real thing. And so that is where I started to navigate it. But really, in full precipitation, it wasn't until 2018 when Anthony Bourdain committed suicide 3 days after Kate Spade. I had a God moment, so to speak.
Girl, that, you know, that broke my heart. That broke my heart. I loved him so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed everything, every nasty thing he ate, every nasty place he slept, every drink he drank. And you just never know what that is. And suicide is on the rise, more prevalent than ever. I just saw another one of these athletes. People don't understand the intense pressure that individuals are in. But also, you can't read people's minds.
Correct. And that was the one thing that when that happened, I said, oh my God, this has to stop. And I was driving and I was like, this precipitating moment, I said, oh my God, like out loud. I was driving 65 miles an hour, but like he sat in the passenger seat with me because we had a conversation. I was talking out loud. I'm tugging my hands. I'm sure someone thought I was on the phone or just maybe had mental issues because I'm like talking out loud. But I was so disturbed by that because I thought, these two wonderful people had great families and they had dream jobs. They couldn't have written their job any better or any other way. They were living their dream and they had more money than they would ever spend in a lifetime. And they both opted to take themselves out. And I thought, what is the common denominator here? What is the actual problem? And it just dropped in my spirit. It was like, it's what they say to themselves. And it was, and the reason that dropped in is the night before I'd had a conversation with a friend and I saw that look on her face and she came to me in that car and I thought, what is going to stop me from getting that phone call? It always makes me emotional saying, cause I'm like, oh, I was like, she doesn't have that same job. She doesn't have that income. You know, she had family relationship issues. And I was like, my gosh, how can she ever escape that fate if they had all that and she didn't, you know? And I was like, I felt this really urgent need to do something. And I had no idea what I could do, except that I had just submitted my first chapter for a collaborative book. So I thought, I'll write a book. And I was like, I have no idea what it's going to be in it. And I was like, what is this common denominator? And that's what it was.
Spirit will bring it to you. Spirit will bring it to you.
It did. It dropped the title of the book right in the car to me.
Everything.
As if I heard it out loud.
Right. So you wrote this book. Did you ever have struggles having negative self-talk in your head? I did.
Yes,
until I cussed myself out.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, April, this is one of the things societally and culturally, especially women struggle with this. And this is the way I struggle with it. So if I say things, a lot of times it's couched in humor. So what I say, even if I'm saying it out loud, might sound funny to somebody and we have a collective laugh, but really what I'm asking them to do is, you know, laugh at me with me openly and allow me to degrade myself. And so it was a very, this process of writing the book actually was very eye-opening for me as well, because I had to take a look at, yeah, I do this too. I just do it in a way that looks a little different. I'm not over here necessarily beating myself up silently. I like do it in the open with humor. And I do address that in the book because it's so widely accepted. You'll see it in movies. And once you're aware of what it sounds like and what it looks like, you'll hear it everywhere around
you. Well, it's that weird satire, and I get that. But what did you do to turn it around? Do you have daily affirmations? I know I do. I have a list of things that I say to myself. One of them is that, how can it get any better than this? And what else is possible? I am love. I am powerful. I am strong. And the more that you say that, you will convince yourself that you are those things. You have to live the life that you love and that you want. And you also have to be around that same circle of influence. Oh. Because I tell you, folks can just suck the air right out the room.
Yeah, I call that your farm. Your friends and relatives matter. And the people that are in your circle that keep you accountable are your farm hands. And they're the ones who will say, now, girl, that wasn't a very nice thing to say to yourself. Maybe you want to rethink that. Mm-hmm. I actually have a technique that I teach that you can teach to your own network. And when I teach it, it is meant to be a ripple effect. So I can teach it to you if you want. It's really very simple.
Teach it to us right now. Go ahead.
I sure will. Okay. So there's four, it's an acronym for the word SNAP. And so what this does is help you snap out of this negative behavior. So there's two sets of words. And one of them is, I would say, in the non-dominant hand, the one that is the weakest hand, the one that's not in charge, is speaking negatively attracts pain. So there's four snaps. Speaking negatively attracts pain. And the other dominant, the one that it's kind of like the off and the on switch. And the on switch is start now activating power. So when you hear this snap, if you and I are in a room and you say something, and I the ones that I've taught it to, like, we're really good at it. I can just say, April, do I need to snap you? And you know what I'm talking about. It means whatever came out of your mouth was not self-loving. And so it causes you the moment of pause to go, wait a minute. And so sometimes I'll do this to my friend and I'll be like, what did you say? And that's my cue to them to snap out of that and say what they meant to say about themselves, and to reframe that. So that's that snapping out of that negative, you know, self-abusing language, right? Wow. I call it upgrading your self-love language.
Absolutely. So you were in, I don't know if you're still doing it, network marketing or multi-level marketing. Girl, I did it and I killed it. I left.
Not surprised.
Yeah, and I thank you. And I left for several reasons, but that's neither here nor there. However, you've got to keep people pumped. And it's a different space now. It used to be you could get in the 1-800 ballroom, you'd be in the hype meeting, girl. You could fly without wings when you left there. You just knew you were going to conquer the world. You were going to build an awesome team. The downline was going to generate residual income forever. The upline was going to have the utmost integrity, and the product was going to stay strong. What does it look like now in multi-level marketing? Because it's different. You're not in the ballroom. You've got to motivate your people a different way. You're going to have to snap them.
And I do, like, honestly, that's what I do. I teach that. So I'm like, you know, if I do that, they know that whatever they've said is not going to call to them what they desire. And you ask me, you know, what if I have affirmations and stuff? And, you know, one of the things that I've come to realize that I say to myself all the time is, I walk in the light, I am the light. That is my affirmation. And when I say I walk in the light, that is because I'm very picky about who's in and on my farm and who's in my sphere of influence. I control that. And part of that is because there is no shade in my light and I don't allow it, right? So in network marketing, it must be the same way. You cannot surround yourself with shady people up or down and have success if you walk in the light and you are the light. And so I'm very lucky and very grateful that I have, you know, a place in my company that has been developed that way. Upline, I came to it. It was sort of inadvertent, I think, you know, because I didn't know that back then. I've been in there 8 years, but I've built my downline specifically within that framework of I walk in the light. I am the light. It isn't that you can't be upset or complain or have a problem. It's that you problem solve by using the light, not by having shade or throwing shade.
Absolutely. Because, you know, you can't do it that way. You can't do it that way. So what are you teaching those three children of yours? Again, that's a different set of circumstances. Those are three independent critical thinkers. My kids will tell me all the time, Mama, you know, you are the smartest brain that we know, and we listen to you, but we don't always apply it. I say, okay, well, then that's on you. That's on you. If I tell you it's raining outside and you go out without socks and shoes and a jacket, you're going to get wet.
That's right. No. That's right. And you can only give them so much, right?
Exactly. And I cannot relive my life vicariously through my children. And sometimes I have to pull back because I have to let them have that life lesson. Where are you at with those three kids in that space?
You know, I feel so blessed, April, because, and my husband and I have talked about this a lot. I feel like we have kind of had the parenting win. And it's really, I say that because I would be friends with all of my children if they weren't my children. Like, they would be in that sphere that I was talking about because I would love them as people. That even if they weren't my children. And I feel like, to me, that's the parenting win. When you can actually say, God, I love the person that they are, not because they're my kid, but because of the person they are. And I would choose them. I think that is really, for me, what really fills me up inside. They're really all very intelligent, but they're all very giving people. They're all very helpful people to other people. Mm-hmm. And they're all critical thinkers. That's a huge thing for me. I value that. And I like to see that at work. And two of them now are parents, and I'm seeing them implement those kind of critical
things. And that is good epigenetics, because there's so many people that are still dealing with generational trauma on what they mama and their grandmama and their great grandmama went through. So somewhere you've got to break the cycle and start anew. You know, 100%. My kids, I feel the same way. I would hang out with them. They're both real cool. You know, I got a bonus son and my daughter, and they are just really, really good people. They're responsible people.
Yep.
I have to, you know, get on them a little bit sometimes about taking responsibility for your actions, because nobody wants to do that. But that's, I tell them, that's when you get out the Pampers and you put on your big girl and big boy draws. You have to do it, because you're going to get kicked in the butt. But the things that hurt you the most are your best teachers.
Yeah.
So tell us.
Well, and you learn from when you make mistakes. I mean, people always say, I want to, you know, make it so that my kids don't have to go through what I went through. I don't think I've ever said those words. I'm like, mm-hmm. I want you to experience life and have the tools to navigate whatever comes your way. I don't want to make the way so easy for you that you don't ever have to think or do anything. That mm-hmm. seems like not the way to parent to me. It's not what my mom provided for me and my dad. They gave me the critical thinking tools to think through what's in front of me. What are my options? What do I need to do? But there's one of the things, and I've really been teaching a lot on this, April, is that we all have choices. We have infinite choices. It's a pet peeve of mine when people say, oh, I don't have a choice. I'm like, that is crap. You have infinite choices. When you make one, you'll have a million more. And you're going to make a million decisions today. And you don't even think of them as choices, but you do. What will I eat? Where will I go? Should I have a drink? Should I have a snack? You're just making choices all day long. But here's the thing. In the ones that really matter, when you make a choice, you're going to have another one. And when you know, choices are what create change. When you were talking about the generational trauma, making the choice to do something different forces a change.
You said something that was kind of interesting. You know, you said you want them to be critical thinkers. Me and a girlfriend of mine, we agreed to disagree because I'm doing a little something extra for my daughter. And because I love her. And I want her to have every opportunity. And if I can put her at the head of the line, I'm going to cut in front of the head of the line if I can. My friend goes, oh, well, you know, you're making her weak. No, I believe that she's on a strong foundation. I have to help them, but I have to also hold her feet to the fire. And she's feeling the scorch right now because there's still rules. And without rules, there's chaos. So, you know, I agree with you, for the most part on that. What are you teaching your clients, people that you're working with, that you're mentoring? And tell us a little bit about your program.
Sure. So I do have a few clients that I mentor personally. And, you know, one of the things that we focus on most is who am I and how do I stand up and stand out as the unrepeatable miracle that I am? There isn't a single person in this planet that is like me, and there is not a single one that's like you. You have a unique DNA out of 8 billion people, as do I. There is any millions and millions of combinations of that egg and sperm that could have come out. You could have come out all different ways, but you came out as you, and there's not another one that's like you. Even identical twins, which I have, my great nieces are identical twins, but the reality is they have different personalities. They're different people. They think differently. Even at 3, you can see they are different. They have different tendencies. We are not like anybody else. That is standing in the power of who you are. That's how you shine. And that's really what I want to teach my clients. And is just like, listen, if you can be an expert at being you, you'll be successful. That's just it. Be you. That's the best thing you can do.
But it's finding out who you are. Okay.
Yes.
That's the key right there. And Brains, you have to do the deep dive. You've got to do self-actualization.
Yep.
You've got to feel the fear, yet do it anyway. You've got to be a risk taker. You got to be able to, you know, look at something and say, well, I didn't do it great that time. Let me try it again. Let me try it again. Let me try it again. Or the heck with it and just toss it out altogether. But it's about
maybe it's not for you.
Maybe it's not for you. You know, show us a copy of that wonderful book.
Sure.
Wow. Now let me see.
Self-bullying, what to do when the bully is you. Wow. And I'll tell you what self-bullying sounds like, April, is, oh girl, I'm so fat. I would never walk on the beach in a bikini. See, and they're like, oh, I know, me too. But see, it's like that camaraderie in that degradation. And that's what I was talking about in the culture. You know, we say things all the time or, oh my gosh, you know what? I can wear the same pair of shoes that I wear from high school. Like, you know, I mean, we hear stuff like that all the time and it just grates my nerves because I'm like, you're listening to yourself. Your subconscious is putting that in. I'm fat. Keep doing things that make me fat. And I keep using that example because for women, it's almost always something that is external. Right. And the reality is that people, that may be what they see first, but they really fall in love with who you are, not what you look like, if you have created the correct farm and the correct network of people around you. They right. fall in love with you. So they don't.
And if you have confidence. You know, I was talking to somebody and we were talking about some gentleman in the entertainment industry, because I've worked in entertainment for a long time. And some of them, girl, look like the cats done drug them in. They just as ugly. But you look at them and they have a swagger. They have a certain gravitas. They have a certain air of confidence that makes you fall in love with them. You don't care anything about this.
Right.
Bad teeth, bald head, you know, pot belly. You don't care. You're looking at the heart center. You're looking at the yes. brain. You're listening to the communication. Those are the things that matter. And you can outshine anybody in the room if you have confidence. The only way that you can gain confidence is if you build it for yourself. That's not something you can buy off the shelf.
No, and I always say that's, you know, I on my website, I have what I call an evaluation kit. And it's actually sort of an experience that you do, that you learn who you are, but it's also got a piece that you actually kind of pull people from your network to see who they think you are. And it's actually an exercise to see if you, who you think you are, is how you're showing up to the
core values are key. What are some of your core values?
So, you know, I mentioned I walk in the light. I am the light. I work really hard on that space energetically, making sure I feel grounded, that I feel calm in my center and in my mental space, so that I can serve people from that lighted area and make sure that it is light I'm casting. That is a huge value for me, is staying in the light and making sure that that's what I'm projecting. I think also being integrity, that is a huge one for me. That's a huge core value for me. I always say, if you meet me in the grocery store or you see me right here, you see the same Sherry you will see anywhere. There's absolutely no pretense for me. You might see me without makeup or something, but who I am never changes. Right. I don't care if I'm on a television show or I'm interviewing somebody or being interviewed or in the grocery store, you're going to see the same Sherry. And that is a core value for me, is to be me.
Right. Well, again, being authentic. You know, people toss that word around, your authentic self. Well, sometimes yeah. that authentic self can be ugly. And so what I'd like for you to do, Brains, is stand in the mirror just for 5 minutes. Take a good long look at what you see from your head down to your toes. Turn around, bend over, look at that too. Because all of that is who you are and you need to love it. I know it's hard sometimes because I look at myself and I was like, where did that come from? You know? You've got different marks and different scars. You don't want to identify with your age. A lot of women don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be 21 again. No, because it was work being 21, okay? I'm in my season. I'm about to be 60 years old, and I am just loving life right now. I'm unapologetically 100%. Me. You know, I can have fun. I can laugh. I can pretty much say what I want to. I can use my AARP card. Okay. Life is good right now. Thank you so much, Sherry, for being here with me. You have been a wealth of information. And I'm going to work on that even more now because you've encouraged me to be the light, to shine, to radiate. Tell my Brains how to get in contact with you, any current offerings or promotions that you have right now that you can share with my audience.
Sure thing. Thank you so much, April, for the opportunity. And you can follow most of what I'm doing on sherryleopold.com. One of the things that I'm working on right now is I am currently at work on a book called Fabulous After 50, where I am shining a light on people's stories that are just crushing it. They are living in their purpose and they are happier than they've ever been. And they've done it all since they turned 50. So it's a powerful set of stories. So I still have space for authors for that. If people want to join me, it's a collaborative book. And I'm just so passionate about allowing people to share their story. And I do interviews all the time. I have a couple different digital television shows, Outside the Box with Sherry and Mindset Makeover. Perhaps maybe you'll be a guest. And
I would love to come and give my perspective on something, because I've got an opinion damn near about everything.
Well, I'm thinking that you will definitely be a co-host on Mindset Makeover.
Thank you so much. I would love to do that. Brains, go in, take a look at it, purchase the book. Okay. It is a great resource. You know, and sometimes people say, well, I don't have time to read a book, but you know what I do? If I don't have time to read the whole book, I open it up and magically what I need seems to be right there. Every time it's an affirmation or it's a chapter or it's a story or a reflection, and keep it there. Just keep it right by your desk. I do it every single day because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. And so we want to radiate.
And I do teach the SNAP technique in the book, so they'll have it in writing how to do it. Snap out of that self-bullying behavior and stand in the light and be the light to yourself.
Wow. And make you some money, you know, get you a good MLM lead that will just take you to the next level.
Well, I can do that for him.
All right. Well, check it out. Brains, thank you so much for following us here on The Edge. I need you to like, love, subscribe, and share. Like, love, subscribe, and share. One more time. Like, love, subscribe, and share. Because that's how we're going to keep it going, keep it flowing. Right. Thank you so much, Sherry, for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. Come on back and let me know what's going on. We got to snap to it.
Thank you.
Bye, brains. Have a good day.
Bye.